Morning, everyone. Josiah. I enjoy saying it. So it's the only Cantonese I know. So. Bori da, yeah, for Jeff. Oh, it's good to be here. You know, I was, I felt quite overwhelmed in the worship. You know, you guys will that have been here a while will know. Usually, when I preach, I'm often stood there with my guitar first. And today I didn't have to, because we had an amazing team lead us in worship. And can we just give thanks to the worship team? Not just the guys that were here, but all of you that have come into the worship team and done a great journey. It's just it's really beautiful, and yeah, we should praise God for that. And there's more that we can praise God for, and I feel like we should. So I want to praise God. So those of you that were there at One Church Sunday last week, you know that we put out a faith target of £30,000 that we could give as a community towards the building fund. And from amongst us, we gave £52,000. Isn't that amazing? Can we praise God for that? Yeah. And not only that, but someone who's given an interest-free loan of £25,000 has actually turned that into a gift. So that's another £25,000. So that's £77,000 that got given last week. Can we praise God for that? And I don't know if it's, can someone put the tithes and offering slide up? Sorry, I know you've put my PowerPoint up, I apologize. Can we get the tithes and offerings slide just on the notices? Because when I saw this morning, again, I was just blown away, because I think this is the single biggest monthly offering I can ever remember. Just going to wait for it to come up. Look, in October, from amongst the community, we gave £36,500. I don't remember a single bigger monthly offering. There might be, but I'm not remembering it. And can we just praise God for that? Can we give God a big round of applause? Don't get me wrong. I know that all that money comes from our bank accounts, okay? But everything we have, where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. It's only by the Lord's blessing that we are able to give. And when we give together in unity, God multiplies that many times over what we could even think or imagine. And so, church, I just want to say a huge thank you and a big well done, because we have all gone on this journey together and we are doing it in unity. If you are yet somebody who has to go on the amazing journey of giving, because it is an amazing journey when you get to sow into the kingdom. If you're not yet on that journey, then please do have a conversation with one of us and say, how do I get on that journey and what does that look like? Because, you know, it's just a huge privilege to be a family together. It's a huge, huge, beautiful picture of what the kingdom of God is like when we all get to sow in, whatever that looks like for each one of us. And, you know, for some of us, we're able to give more. For some, we can't give as much. But to the Lord, it doesn't matter. What he's looking for is the unity in the church. And where there's unity, he commands that beautiful blessing. Amen? Amen. None of which is my message. So, I just want you really quickly, well, I say quickly, I want you just to turn around to someone near you. And I want you to tell them something about them. Now, it could be something that you're going to look at somebody next to you or behind you, and you're going to tell them something encouraging. Now, it could be from the Word of God, a promise that God makes in the Bible about them. It could be something you know about them that you find really encouraging, that when you see them, you go, I mean, whenever I see Wilson, you know, whenever I see my brother Wilson, my heart just goes, oh, it's Wilson. I'm going to get a hug. Because I know that whenever I see Wilson, he's like, brother! And he hugs me. And so I kind of live in anticipation of, ooh, it's coming. The hug is coming. And I just want you to practice briefly, before we do anything else, I want you to practice encouraging someone around you. So whether it's the Word of God, or whether it's something that you really, that impresses you about the person that, and if you're husband and wife trying to find somebody else, yeah, that's too easy. Because you should be speaking lovingly to each other all the time. So find someone around you. You're going to encourage them right now, okay? 3, 2, 1, go.
You are just, the way you've gone on the journey with worship is really encouraging. And you're beginning to lead others around you, and you can see it. And so I just want to say massive well done. It's really encouraging to see.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're awesome, Mabel. How did that feel? How did it feel to be encouraged? Did it feel good? Yeah. Did it lift your heart? Yeah. To be told something positive, to be told something that was good about you, or something that God says about you. You know, at the moment we're thinking about worship, and you know, there's different ways in which we worship the Lord. And we worship this morning through sung worship with music. We also worshipped as we took communion, as we remembered what Jesus had done for us. But let's remind ourselves this morning that worship isn't just meant to be a moment during the day where we turn our attention towards God. There are times, and I preached on this a few weeks ago, that we do need to turn our attention back to God, to remind ourselves of who He is and who we are. But the journey that God wants us to make throughout our lives is that worship becomes a lifestyle, and that everything we do actually becomes worship to Him. Now, what we just did in encouraging one another was worship, because we were calling out the greatness that we see in the other. And we all live our lives in a way that we often get overwhelmed with all the things that are wrong about us. I don't know about you, but that's a battle for me in my life, is, you know, just being frustrated about the things that, oh, I wish I was more like this, or I wish I could be a bit more patient, or I wish I didn't get as frustrated when something goes wrong. And we can get overwhelmed with the things that we see about ourselves that we think, oh, I don't like that. And so actually taking those moments to encourage one another is a truly, truly powerful thing. And it's something that God does for us. You know, if you remember that verse in Zephaniah that I was preaching about over the last few times, that I was talking about how God delights in us. You know, God is singing over your life. He is delighting over your life. Right now, in heaven, God is finding every single possible positive thing that he can say about you. And he's saying it. He's singing it over you. And yet we, as humanity, we can so often be down on ourselves, but down also on one another. But the theme of my message this morning is that we have been created for relationship. So when we talk about worship, what is worship? Worship is a relationship with the divine. Worship is coming into relationship with God himself. Because as we sing about him, as we sing what he's done for us, our hearts are turned towards his. And you've got to remember that his heart is already turned towards you. And anybody that is missing the relationship with the divine in their lives will try and fill it with all sorts of other things. You'll see it. You'll know people that are doing it. Your friends, family, people on your streets, neighbors. You can see people trying to fill that gap of the divine relationship that every human being is intended to have. And we fill it with all sorts of stuff. We fill it with possessions. We fill it with going on holidays. We fill it with buying nice things for ourselves. We fill it with all sorts of stuff. But the only thing that will truly ever satisfy is when we understand that God has created us for relationship with himself. Now, the interesting thing is that research has shown, if you go to the next slide, close relationships are undeniably linked to health and well-being across your lifespan. Now, it's not really known about the mechanisms through which close relationships promote or hinder health, but close relationships present a health risk factor equal to or greater than known health risk factors such as smoking, your body mass index, how heavy you are, and your physical activity. So just as important as going for a run, just as important as eating well, just as important as not smoking, research has shown that the intimate relationships we have in our lives can have as much or even more impact on any of those things. And so that shows us, because remember, God has created the world, God has created us. He has put everything in its place. So it's no accident that science has discovered that this is true. Because if we have a creator, and if the purpose of the creator's creation was not just to have, oh, here's a nice earth, here's a nice planet with lots of lovely trees, and oh, there's animals, and oh, I've created human beings as well. Oh, it's nice that they're all different. And that's not, when God looks at his creation, he isn't just going, oh, that's nice, I did that. No, he's created his creation with the purpose of relationship. And when we don't recognize the importance of this truth, that we have been created for relationship with him, we miss out on something incredibly beautiful. It's, you know, if you call yourself a Christian today, if you say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, if you believe that in your turning up this morning and singing worship songs and taking communion and listening to me talk about this, if you think, oh, I've done my duty, I've done my Christian duty in coming, but then the rest of the week, the rest of this following week, you forget that you've been created for relationship with the God that we've been singing about this morning, you've missed out. You'll have missed out hugely. And in fact, you'll probably be creating the same hole in your life that everyone else has. Because when we forget what God has made us for, we don't do ourselves any favors at all. Now, I know in my own life, from a very early age, I've shared some of this before, but I know that the biggest issue that I had, the driving issue that caused me the most pain, the most anxiety, the most trouble throughout my whole early life before I came to know Jesus, the biggest thing was not knowing this truth. Not knowing that God loved me for who I was. That I wasn't some kind of mistake. That I wasn't some kind of accident. Because throughout my childhood, throughout my teenage years, I spent a lot of time believing that, you know, no one would like me for me. No one would love me for me. And it wasn't until Jesus came into my life that all began to change. But, you know, there's even now, I don't know what, I've known Jesus for 25 years, more maybe. Even now, I still can find myself in a place where I'm like, do people really like me? Or thank you. But, you know, do people like me for me, or do I have to put on some sort of act for people? Do I have to pretend? You know, it's easy when you stand here to hide. When you stand here, it's so easy to hide. Because you guys all know me as someone that comes here, you know, and someone that shares the word, and someone that sometimes leads worship. But that's like 2% of who I am. The other 98% of Gareth, you know, if you actually got to know me, you know, would you like me? Would you be, oh, I'm not, does Gareth really do that? And we can begin to live in a way where we actually hide from one another who we are. And that's part of the reason for getting you to do that quick exercise before we started, is that one of the ways in which we can truly begin to form deep relationships with one another is by saying, you know what? I'm going to call out what I see in my brother and my sister. I'm going to tell them what I see of God in them. And the reason for doing that is sometimes we're not doing it for ourselves. You know, because like I said, it's so easy for us to get tracked into the, oh, I can't believe I snapped at my wife this morning. That never happens, of course. I can't believe I got frustrated with the dog. You know, it's so easy for us to forget to speak out the good things we see in each other. And we've been created for this relationship. We've been created for relationship with the divine, and we've been created for relationship with one another. If you got your Bibles, if you turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verses 16 to 19, it's on the screen behind me as well. Let's read this together. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. This scripture, and Roy actually just shared, you know, a testimony which really speaks to this truth. That when we know that we're loved, when we know that we are loved, it doesn't matter what else is going on in our lives, however challenging it is. And one of the most challenging situations that any of us will ever be in is the one that Roy was in, where you're strapped up to a whole bunch of machines and basically you haven't got any control over what's happening. Everything that's happening is happening at you. I mean, you get nice doctors and nurses, which is awesome, and like Mabel says, we love our NHS. But there's no situation. There's no situation that's perhaps more challenging than when you feel out of control. And it's those moments where fear can begin to press in. And it's in those moments that we need to know that we are perfectly loved. We are perfectly loved by God. But the only reason that we will know that is because we know that we've been created for relationship. Because love works through relationships. If you think about a mother and a father and a newborn child, you know, the moment that that child is in your arms, you know that there's no more, I mean, the relationship with your spouse is still important. But At the moment you hold your baby for the first time, you just instinctively know that you're always going to love this child. You're always going to try to protect. You're always going to try and make sure that they're okay. You know, the moment you hold your child in your arms, your whole perspective about life changes, because it's no longer about you. It's about this child in your arms. You know that there's no more important relationship than the one that a parent has with their children. And God is our Father. He wants us to know how much He loves us. He wants us to know how much He cares. He wants us to know. He wants us to know all the good things that He thinks about us. And when we know that His love covers a multitude of sins. Because of His love, He covered our sin. You know, the reason that Jesus came into this world was love. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. The reason that Jesus came was love. And so if you as a believer, if you are doubting, does God really love me? I know it says it in the Bible, and mentally we can agree, yes, that's true. Yeah, it says in the Bible that God loves us. But that's not the same as believing that God loves you. Really understanding in your heart that God cares about your life, that He wants you to know His love. He wants you to feel His love. You know, there's sometimes I know that I can say to Rachel, my wife, I can say, I love you. I love you. But I'm saying it because I know it's the right thing to say. But when I feel my love for Rach, my behavior changes. My whole way of treating her changes when I feel my love for her. Because we as humans, we've got to remember we've been created as triune beings. We've been created completely in the image of God. So God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are flesh, we're mind, and we're also spirit. And it's only when our spirit comes into agreement that we are loved by God that it really becomes possible. It truly becomes possible to know that we are loved in the way that God wants us to know that we are loved, that we can feel, literally feel His embrace. And if you are somebody that thinks, well, I know it's true that God loves me because I agree with what the Bible says, because that's the right thing to do. And I'm going to say, amen, that is the right thing to do. Agree with God's word is always the first step. But if you are actually somebody that says, you know what, I've never felt that embrace. I've never felt his love for me, then it's entirely possible that in your spirit you've not yet come into agreement with that truth. And that's something that you need to do. Because there in 1 John it tells us that God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God. And we love, as it says at the end, because he first loved us. So it's actually really challenging to love ourselves, to love one another in the way that God wants us to, unless we first know that he loves us. Once you know, once you understand how much, and it says how deep and how wide and how high is the love of God. It's when we know that, that it truly becomes possible to love one another and to love the world in the way that God desires for us. And it's all worship. Knowing that we are loved by him is worship, because you are coming into a deep relationship with the divine in that moment. The moment that you know that God loves you and you feel the fierceness, you feel the depth of his love for you, you are coming deeper into a relationship with the divine. You're coming deeper into knowing and understanding who you are in him. We want to spend time with those who we love, and though we know who loves us. So when we don't know we're loved by him, that devotional time that we know we should have each day is just that little bit more challenging. Because it's become something we need to create. Oh, I've got to try and create some, I've got 10 minutes in my day where I can try and read my Bible. And again, I'm not going to stand here and say that's a bad thing. I'd rather people be reading their Bibles than not. But when you know that God loves you, you can't wait to get into his presence. When you know that he loves you, you can't wait to go and spend some time with him. Because you know that in that moment you're going to be transformed. You know that you're going to be perfectly loved. Next slide. Thank you. So again, if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" So here we are. Right back at the beginning, man has fallen from the place that God had intended for him. Again, remember, God created each one of us. He created humanity with the intention of relationship. He created you with the intention of relationship. But each one of us, just like Adam and Eve, We fall into sin until we're redeemed by Jesus. It's the human condition that each one of us is born into sin, and each one of us has to come to the decision that we want right relationship with our God, because we recognize he loves us. You know, when you asked Jesus to be your saviour, when you asked him into your life, hopefully like me, you did it because you recognized that God loved you. And he loved you so much that he gave his one and only son to die for you so that your life could be redeemed. And when we don't know, again, when we don't know how much God loves us, we get all sorts of distorted ideas about who he is. But I want you to think about this picture. Because if there's ever a moment where God could be angry, it could be this one. Because what he'd created had disobeyed him. Humanity that he'd poured himself into, who he'd created in his own image, had disobeyed him. And here's Adam and Eve hiding. And sometimes we get the idea of this angry, vengeful God who's just waiting to tell us off, who's waiting to punish. Just think about that first verse. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. Does that sound like someone who's angry? I mean, I can remember a couple of times when Joel and Naomi were children and they'd been disobedient, as children can be. And there were definitely times that I didn't come walking peacefully into, as if in the evening breeze, taking my, it was like, oh, here comes Dad pounding down the stairs. What's going on here? What's happened? What have you done? That isn't how God treated Adam and Eve in their moment of being fallen. Now, he came walking into the garden, into the place of habitation of humanity. He came walking in. And he asked the question, where are you? I think as Rach has preached before, the word there is ayeka, the Hebrew ayeka. Where are you? And that isn't a location-based question that God is asking. He's not like, where are you in this garden? He knows where they are, because nothing is hidden from his sight. Now, the question he's asking is, what is the state of your souls? What is happening with you? What is going on? He's looking for relationship still. He's looking for a response from them. And we know as it goes on, we understand that there are consequences for what's happened, because there always are. There's consequences for sin. There's always consequences for sin. But there's also immediately a redemptive plan that God puts into action. Immediately. God says to the serpent, which is why there's always, it says there's enmity between the serpent and the woman, is because the woman is the producer of children. And God's basically saying one day there's going to be a child born into this world that's going to stamp on your head, Satan. It's going to crush your head. And scripture says that Jesus has made the enemy his footstool. Literally, Jesus has stamped on all the plans and purposes of the enemy. Jesus has stamped on Satan's head and made the enemy his footstool. So, yes, there was about to be consequences for sin, but the redemptive plan was also put into motion straight away. God had lost relationship, but immediately there was the possibility that relationship was going to be restored. So if you're ever thinking of God as an angry, mean, vengeful God who's looking for trouble, that's a wrong picture. That's a false image of who he is. He is looking for relationship with you. He's looking to come into your life and embrace you. Think about the parable of the prodigal son. That is the absolute image of who our Father is. The moment he sees any single one of us looking like we're returning to him, he's not standing there waiting. He's running. He's running to greet us. He's running to welcome us back. He's running to make sure that we're protected. He's running to give us our identity, to say, this is who you are. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. Knowing that we're loved is probably the greatest thing that any Christian will ever know. Knowing it. Again, I don't mean just, yes, it's in the Bible that God loves me. It's when you know it. It's when you know it in your heart, in your spirit. That's when it becomes real. That's when it becomes true. Really, really true. And so, brothers and sisters, today, I want us to remember. I want us to remind ourselves of how much it is we're loved by him. There's a few things I want you to take away. Next slide, please. Five things. How can you step into more of this? Number one, make it a priority as part of your devotional time to tell the Lord what you think of him. He doesn't need our encouragement, okay? God doesn't need our relationship. But actually, he's made himself vulnerable to it. He's chosen to make himself vulnerable to his creation, to us. And so one of the ways that we step into this is because we begin to tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I think about you. This is what I know about you. And then the second thing that we can do is actually ask the Lord what he thinks of us. Remember, he's rejoicing over you and he's looking for the opportunity to remind you who you are. It's something I've begun to actually make a practice in my own life, because knowing that I can go in myself, I can go to negative places. And, you know, sometimes, let's be honest, we can go to some fairly dark places in our own minds because of life, because of what's happened. You know, I imagine, although there's now distance between what happened for many of you in Hong Kong, I suspect that as all of that was going on, it would have been very easy for your mind to go to some very dark places. Really dark places. And the only treatment, the only thing that can truly come against that is when God begins to speak into who you are. And you can actually make it a practice in your day to say, God, what do you think about me? What is it you think of me? Because when we get hold of that, it's powerful. But number three, be ready to be challenged on it. Because the thing that the enemy really is scared of is of when Christians really know who they are. He's actually, I think sometimes the enemy can be reasonably happy when we as Christians kind of just come together in a room like this and we sing songs and we encourage each other and we pray. And again, I'm not saying that that doesn't do anything. But when the enemy becomes really worried is when we really begin to understand how much we're loved. And that begins to seep out there. Because that's when people begin to get redeemed and set free. So number four, when the Lord speaks something to you about who you are, don't just move on really, really quickly. When God tells you something about yourself, I want to encourage you, continue to meditate on that truth until you know that it's real. That you've got no doubt in your mind that this is what God has said about you. Because you will be the enemy will challenge you on it. When God speaks something, the enemy will challenge you. And said, because what's the first question to Adam and Eve? What did the enemy say to them? Did God really say that? That's the ancient opposition. Did God really say that? And that's the challenge that he'll use for most of us. Did God really say that? So when you get a truth from God, meditate on it until it becomes really real in your life. And number five, and because you've been encouraged, become an even greater encourager of others. So going back to what we did at the beginning, this should be our lives, to be encouraged by the divine because we've got relationship with the divine. And then to encourage those around us because we know how much we're loved and we just want to share that love. And I'm not just talking about in here. I'm talking about we get to do that out there. We get to share that love, that transformational love of God with those that truly need it. People whose lives are lost, people who are lost to him, people who are going to die and go to hell unless they hear about Jesus. And when we love, as we know that we're loved by God, it just has the ability to transform the environment around us. And the way we're going to finish today is we're going to worship. I'm going to ask the team to come back. We're going to sing a song called Build Your Kingdom Here. Build Your Kingdom Here. And as we worship today, as we worship this song, I want you to take the opportunity as we do so. Because this is a song we can rejoice to. And I want you to rejoice in who you are. I want you to rejoice in God. If you feel like, actually, I'm just going to let the team sing, and I'm going to spend a moment asking God who I am, asking him what he thinks of me, then do that. Do that. Don't worry about the worship. This is because it is worship. It's all worship. So I'm just going to pray. Lord, just close your eyes for one moment, and then the team are going to lead us. Lord, I want to pray right now that every single person here would know who they are. I want to pray right now, Lord, for every person in this room. Lord, we would know how much we're loved. We would know, not just in our minds, but in our heart and in our spirit, how much we are loved by you. And that as we are loved by you, we get to love one another and we get to love this world. So as we worship now, I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, release your love in this place. Release your love across this room. Release your love, Lord God, in a way that perhaps many of us may never have felt it before. Release your love. In Jesus' name, amen.